Welcome to Governor Tim Pawlenty's podcast from the great state of Minnesota. Delivering on his commitment to provide tax relief, a balanced budget, and to reduce spending, Governor Pawlenty, joined by legislative leaders at a press conference, announced a bipartisan budget agreement, including a property tax cap. The following is the audio from that press conference.
Well, isn't this a sight for sore eyes? We are delighted to be here this afternoon to announce that we have, on a bipartisan basis, reached a successful end to the session that is going to be good for the citizens that each of us serve. I want to start by expressing thanks and gratitude to a number of individuals and groups, and I think I will name everybody up here because they have worked really hard, and I think you know who they are, but we have folks here who have spent a lot of hours and days and weeks working very, very hard on issues where there were sometimes commonalities, sometimes sharp differences, but through the negotiations, common ground was found for the best interests of our state and for the best interests in the citizens that we serve. And so first of all, to Lynn Carlson and Senator Cohen, two seasoned veterans of the process, they have worked very, very hard. We're grateful for their leadership in the overall budget bill. Tom Huntley and Linda Berglund, and Linda Berglund here, led the efforts on the health care reform package, combined with Laura Broad and Matt Dean from the Minority Caucus, and of course we had many, many others in each of these categories as well. Chair Lincheski and Chair Bach worked diligently and hard on the tax issues and related issues. Tom Huntley, I should mention as well, I think we got Peter Bell on Central Corridor. And we have our minority leaders, Tom Emmer and Marty Seifert, here as well. And then on the bonding bill, we have Senator Lankseth and Representative Hausman. All of these folks brought to the table great skills, strong beliefs, but also a common desire to get things done in the best interests of our state. And to each and every one of them, I say job well done and thank you. And we express gratitude for your hard work and your public service on behalf of our state. We also have our commissioners here. Commissioner Hansen joins us up front. And when you run all these numbers, and Jim is here as well, we won't thank McClung, but they're critical to the operation. And there are staff people in the room and throughout this Capitol complex at the state office building here at the Capitol as well, who put in endless hours, and we appreciate them. We also have the minority leaders of the Senate, David Senjum and Betsy Wergen, and we're grateful for them as well and their leadership, and we're also want to thank our families. Everybody here, I think, has been gone from home a lot over the last few weeks, and we all have significant others, spouses, and others, so we appreciate that. As you know, in this building, sometimes people choose to highlight differences. Today, I want to choose to highlight our common interest in serving our state. This process has yielded common results and common goals for all of us standing here, and I'll just share a few of them with you, and then I'll turn it over to the legislative leaders for their comments and perspective as well. First and foremost, the agreement that we reached erases the budget deficit for the 2008-09 biennium, and we'll explain how that is accomplished in more detail. It leaves a little bit on the bottom line, but that budget deficit is erased for the current biennium. We also have, through a variety of means, obtained and achieved, I think, historic property tax relief for our state. There are several components to it, but a main component is a 3.9% property tax limit or cap on property taxes. There's a growth limit and or growth factor that goes into that as well. We also have increased local government aids and credits. There's also been an infusion of money into direct property tax relief for homeowners. If you add that all up, it's well over $400 million of property tax relief over the next 3 years or so, and it's going to come in those three forms, and I think it's a good package for property tax relief and reductions in our state. The bill, as I mentioned, also requires the state to live within its means and have a balanced budget, and accomplishes that for 2008-09, and it makes some progress towards fiscal year 10 and 11, or the so-called out biennium or next biennium that's coming up. We also have in the results a $750 a person or up to $750 a person tax credit for members of the military who have served in the United States military for 20 years or more or who are disabled. There's also increased tax exemptions and credits for certain other military activities in terms of combat and training and the like, and that's included. We also have made progress on a number of other things. We have a bonding bill that was just agreed to moments ago in this room that will live within the $825 million bonding cap. It will significantly include the Central Corridor project that is of great interest to many across our state. It will also include the Vermilion State Park project. It will also include the Minneapolis Veterans Home. It will include a bridge project in the Cedar Avenue area and the Bloomington area that Chair Lincheski was advocating. And it will include some CAPRA money, which is kind of general maintenance money, but stay within the $825 million limit. The session also features, I think, nation-leading health care reform, and this was an area of, I think, sharp disagreement, but also a common interest in recognition that the health care system in our country and our state is in need of dramatic improvement. And this bill goes a long ways towards addressing many of the concerns and more transparency and more e-prescribing and more electronic medical records and more access for people who are disadvantaged and are having a hard time affording health insurance. And to all of those who are involved in bringing that together, we sure appreciate it. There are other things as well. The list goes on and on, but it includes a K-12 funding increase as well as a nursing home increase and others. But in the coming hours and days, I'm sure there'll be lots of information about what's in all these bills. But those are some of the highlights. But I'd like to turn it over now to Speaker Kelleher, who has just been a wonderful leader in these negotiations, as well as Senator Pogemiller and all the others standing here to help achieve this result and this accomplishment. Speaker Kelleher, thank you so much.
Thank you, Governor. Well, Governor Pawlenty and Governor Ramsey, I think that it is an important acknowledgement in this week when we celebrate statehood that what we have done during this legislative session, this year and last, is worked hard. I think we have been the most productive legislature in a very, very long time. We have reduced partisanship, we have got the job done, and we have produced results for Minnesotans. And with that, the governor covered a lot of these things, but I think we came here to do a few very focused things this year, produce more and better jobs for Minnesotans. We did that in a variety of ways, including a bonding bill, a transportation bill, and finally, the final piece of this next bonding bill that you will see today. We balanced the state budget. We were able to provide a tax bill that is going to provide something that we have been working on in the legislature for a very long time, property tax relief. We're going to have a healthier Minnesota, one that focuses on cost containment of health care, quality of health care, and making sure that we have more Minnesotans with health care, as well as making sure that we are planning for our legacy. And I think that this bonding bill is really a good example in the week of statehood to think about the last part of this and what is funded with it. The first park, state park, in a very long time, a pristine piece of property that Minnesotans can share for the next 150 years. A central corridor that builds a transportation system that will be an investment for over the next 100 years. This is not just about the next coming week, months, or a couple of years. This is really about being the leaders for a very long time to come. I want to thank, on behalf of the House, both the House and Senate chairs, I want to thank Senator Pogemiller and Senator Clark, and I also want to thank the governor for his leadership. It took a lot of hard work. We've spent a lot of hours together, and I think that has paid off with a good result for Minnesotans. And we are proud of our work, and we're going to finish and complete our work today.
Thank you, Speaker.
Thanks.
Senator?
The room is as stuffy now as it has been for the last 3 weeks. And I just, in a gentle jab to our partners, I believe we would have
careful
been...
Now. Careful now.
We would have been... it's still the Senate's belief that we would get this done quicker if we did it in open meetings. But... I believe that to be the case. Under difficult circumstances, we've come together to unite Minnesota on a bipartisan basis. There's many things that are left undone, but think of the accomplishments this year. Representative Sertich led the effort for a clean water legacy that's going to be a constitutional amendment on the ballot. That will go down in history if Minnesotans vote yes. We enacted a transportation bill that 22 years in the making. That is an incredibly significant thing for this state. In my judgment, the key to unlocking this entire legislative session and agreement were the heroic efforts of Senator Linda Berglund and Representative Tom Huntley on health care access. They stayed at the table as others left and came out with a bill that has somewhere about 15% cost savings, a signed bill, 15% cost savings. Well, it will be.
The second
it will
one
be.
Was signed.
It will be.
The second one was
15% cost savings, roughly, and access increase for 12,000 Minnesotans. We're not there yet, Minnesota, on universal access. We're not there yet, but we're on the path. One caution, we have a structural deficit. We have solved the deficit for this biennium, but we have somewhere between, and I'm going to have a wide range, Governor, so we don't get into our argument about how you measure it, between $1 billion and $2 billion structural problem. We have to fix that. Senator Cohen's courageous efforts, and this is dog bites man. Senator Cohen led a committee in the Senate that had more significant reductions in spending than anybody else. The final bill does not have as significant reduction. That was hard work, and Senator Cohen and his committee ought to be applauded for that. Senator Bach, you've heard about property taxes. Senator Lankseth, that Duluth arena is finally done. And Senator Stumpf, and Representative Greiling, added revenue, long-term permanent revenue to education in a year where we didn't have any revenue. It was the right thing to do, and they did it. The governor and I have had a challenging relationship over the years. He, during all times during discussions this year, was dignified, rational, tough,
he's saying I wasn't in previous.
And that helped. That helped. When there was a lot of stress, the governor's calmness was very effective, and I appreciate that. But I want to give my largest kudos to the Speaker of the House. In my judgment, I've been here many, many years, and I've served with many speakers. Her patience, her courage, and her ability to take hits day after day made this session happen. I applaud her.
Marty?
I want to thank everyone up here for the many hours we've spent together. I've got to know these folks. We've gotten to know each other a lot better. The humor that comes out is very good for all of us. We will not tell anyone, but I can tell you that this isn't about a Democrat or Republican accomplishment. The end of session, I think, is a bipartisan accomplishment. The session started out a bit rough with the tax increases and whatnot, but if you look at how the session ended, we look at property tax reform. The cap is a big issue for us that we brought to the table. The tax credits and health care are a big issue that we brought to the table. Living within our means without raising taxes on people in the budget bill is a big deal. So as we look at this holistically, we felt that the majority listened to us after some vetoes. They incorporated a lot of our ideas, both in health care and in budget and in many areas, the tax bill, et cetera. And I certainly will, if we have time tonight, and I don't know if we will, speak in favor of the budget bill and the tax bill.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, Governor, and leaders. This is a long, hard session, and frankly, one along the way, I thought perhaps we're looking at a train wreck, but indeed, a couple of weeks ago, the Governor and legislative leaders grabbed the pole and moved the switch and headed all in a different direction, and a good direction. I think we've seeing that result today now as we draw to fruition of this session. So, again, on behalf of our caucus, thank you to Senator Pogemiller and to the Speaker and certainly to our House colleagues for a lot of good work. And what I think, as history looks back at this session, it will look back very kindly. I think we did a lot of good things. We've got a lot of challenges ahead of us, but I think we've prepared well, and we'll move into now the 2009 session, certainly with challenges, but I think a renewed spirit and a feeling of optimism, simply because I think we've found a way to work together and do that very effectively. So, again, thank you so much.
Thank you. I think we'll, anybody else must speak. We have a lot of chairs here, so let's just see if there are any questions, and we'll go from there. Any questions? The supplemental budget bill, in rough outlines, Bill, it's $500 million from the reserve. It's about $355 million in cuts and changes in other funds. There's an FOC piece. Well, that's in the tax bill, but there's an FOC tax offset with the property tax and the veterans piece. Miscellaneous other things, but it adds up. We had to get up to about $1 billion, not 935, because of some of spending on the 35W bridge. But those are the big pieces.
Do you have a signed agreement? Do you have a handshake?
How do you? We have a handshake.
We have a handshake and spreadsheets.
Sure.
Yeah, as soon as we get them cleaned up. It's $51 a pupil. There's also a mechanism to move $51 out of something called the capital operating levy, from unlock it from that purpose into general use, so it's not new money, but that second 51 can be more flexibly used.
I think 36 of it is permanent, roughly.
What about the Mall of America?
Mall of America is in the tax bill. It was shrunk down somewhat from some of the original proposals, and that's in the tax bill. Well, the runs are being finalized, but you're going to see property taxes that are going to, relative to what they would have been, go down, not down in absolute terms, but go down relative to where they would have been. So you're going to see, without counting the LGA piece of this, if you just look at the effects of the property tax cap and the direct property tax relief to homeowners, which is in the PTR form, you're going to see between $450 and $500 million of impact. And then that doesn't account the impact of the LGA, and that's over 3 years.
If I could just add.
Yeah, please.
I think the Senate and House are concerned that our partners in local government, counties and cities, this is going to be a challenge for them. It is true that the governor's insistence on the cap will be beneficial to individual taxpayers, but I think we need to recognize that we have not yet successfully rebuilt our relationship with local governments, which is a major objective of the House and the Senate.
Is there some offset in this property tax for LGA?
There's $60 million in LGA that goes in, and $25 million of PTR, which is the individual run. There's a series of exceptions, which are the traditional exceptions. Pat, and we put in two new ones. One is cities that in areas that have experienced overburden with respect to foreclosures. There's also a piece in there that allows them to levy extra for police and fire.
Well, that city's portion, that's just not specific to
cities, counties, and cities and counties, not school districts.
Okay, so just to clarify, foreclosure issue, that's several cities, not just one.
It's 17
counties. Go ahead, Speaker.
It's a statewide new special levy. We, with the help of the governor's Housing Finance Authority, we were able to determined that at least 17 counties are significantly benefited by this, probably, at least double, if not triple digits, of communities who are experiencing the overburden from the foreclosure crisis. And this is, of course, something that could not be accounted for in past levy limits, and we think it's a reasonable exception to make.
Decreases. Yeah, I think the overall level of increase in property taxes next year is about $450 million. Is that right? So that's without schools. Mm-hmm. So if you exclude the schools, the dollar value of projected property taxes increase next year, $450 million. This combined effect of all this will decrease it, we think, about 30%. Now, these runs are all being finalized, so that may move around a little bit. But so you have the 3.9% cap for 3 years. But as with the tradition with levy caps or in Minnesota, there's exceptions where for specific things, lawsuits, police and fire, now foreclosures, pensions. Where pensions, some other stuff that they have to do that are you can, are allowed to levy for those things outside of the cap. But if you combine all that together, it's going to cut property taxes or reduce the rate of growth by about 30%. Yeah, those runs, I don't know if I've actually are available yet, but maybe Ann or Tom can comment on it.
Ann,
do you know offhand, Tom? We don't know that yet, Bill.
I don't know exactly who to address this to. We've been hearing for the past couple of days, 99.7% close, but this close the whole thing. What took so long in this three-day process of so close?
Pogomiller is difficult. And there's a lot of psycho-atmospherics in the room. And
Speaker wouldn't leave the office.
the days ago, the basic pieces of the deal were in focus, but the details always become a challenge. And so, for example, you'll reach agreement on the Vermilion Park, and then you've got to have some issues around how you're going to offset that against the lost property tax revenues for that part of the state. So we spent, 2 hours this morning trying to figure out how do you make good to the counties and the cities on the what would have been the developed value of that parcel for the property tax revenue. So you say, okay, we'll do Vermilion, but then you got 3 hours of work on how do you take care of that sub piece of it. So those are the kinds of things that go on.
How does that result?
Bach rolled like folded like a lawn chair.
If I could just take a stab at your, I think it depends on one's perspective. One is either difficult or one is strong. And I believe the Speaker of the House was strong, and I believe the Governor was strong.
Are we going to have to fill in that blank?
And in seriousness, Tom, I don't want to single out Tom for this. And from the tax area, we had a lot of challenging yes. issues, and they both stepped up big time as problem solvers and leaders and got it done. As to the park, Lori, it's a form of compensation to the local units of government based on a formula that has been created that would give them some, in lieu of tax payments, kind of a new approach to it.
Is there a land bank that's part of that?
No.
$20 million.
I think it's 19.
No, we adjusted it to 20.
Oh.
$20 million.
Property taxes.
One more question. We've been hearing for days that there was a 3.9% cap. For homeowners in Minnesota, should they think that they are going to get property tax increases of no more than 3.9%?
Well, you have to look at it this way, Pat. The 3.9% cap relates to how far somebody can raise a levy. However, there are exceptions to that. So you got to look at the exceptions, and in some cases that will apply in some cities, in some cases they won't. So it doesn't relate to an individual homeowner's property tax bill. The 3.9% relates to how much a city or a county can raise their levy. Can't be more than 3.9% subject to those exceptions. And in addition, underneath all that is $60 million increase in LGA, so the counties and cities are getting more aid, and the individual homeowners are getting PTR, which is individual-based property tax relief. So you got to combine the effects of all of that simultaneously.
Did you all think you would get this much done when you came in, given you had a $1 billion problem?
Go ahead.
I think that although not everyone is going to be happy and it's not perfect, it is about the most robust package we could get for Minnesotans at this point in terms of the deficit we faced, the needs of the people of Minnesota, making sure that we protected our students and senior citizens. I think that we did quite well by the people to get the maximum package available to those citizens that we could get at this point. And I think that was really, I mean, the whole time, that was my motivating factor on behalf of the House and on behalf of the people they represent, was to get the best in terms of property tax relief, some money for schools, for our hardworking nursing home workers, and be able to do that and still balance the budget.
Go ahead. Just very briefly, we were optimistic. Our objective was a strong, united, and prosperous Minnesota, and I think we accomplished much of that. But I believe in the Senate, speaking for the Senate, I think the bipartisan activity of our partners, Senator Senjum and Senator Wergen, made it possible to have a very collegial, positive, and productive Senate session.
I would just concur with what was said. I think it's a very productive session. You look at the things that got done, I think you have to mark it down as one of the more successful sessions in a while. I think by mid-afternoon, Bill, we can get you the runs or a summary of the runs. So rather than people guessing, we'll just get you the
summary. A little later in the afternoon.
All right. Sometime, but we don't have all those runs yet. But it's going to about 5 minutes ago.
No, I think it was the health care reform bill.
Yeah,
I think
it was a key piece.
I fundamentally believe the key to the session in terms of an agreement was the health care reform bill.
I should say on that point, Senator Berglund in particular and Representative Huntley were extremely helpful because we had, you know, a big challenge to solve, and they were willing to use a portion of the health care access fund to for legitimate purposes, and that helped break a logjam. And it relates to a system where we set up some of the health care access fund to get repaid by the general fund later, but that was a very significant development and I think a piece of a leadership on their part.
I mean, we should take one more question. There's probably some other activities that need to take place the rest of the day.
Yeah. I'll let these guys test that.
I mean, sure, there always are, but I think that, I should probably have Representative Seifert come up. I mean, I know he can't promise, but I do think that, we are going to have to move things through here. We have a lot to do. I do believe we have enough time to do it, and I think, frankly, it goes to an issue of very good time management by the legislature this session, that we are sitting at a point where what we have left to do is what you see before us with a couple of other outstanding bills. We are in very, very good shape, and we have done a lot already. So I think, it's you never know. You don't have that crystal ball, but I think we're in good shape here to get done. I didn't ask him to do that.
We're committed to talk to our caucus members and get finished. The big difference between this year and last year is that we were at the table with the governor negotiating the bills out in good faith, not trying to blow things up, sitting with our Senate colleagues. Everyone was treated, somewhat equal this year. Last year, I felt like the bills kind of came close enough, came flying out. Nobody had time to read them. This year was much better in the sense that we had a consensus. We had sign-off by our governor. We worked together to get a bill that people could all agree to. And so when we feel part of the process, then we can make the process work better. So while I can't promise a muzzling, I certainly can work very diligently to try to make sure members are fully informed that the package is to move forward in a constructive manner.
Just, Brian.
Go ahead, I'll answer that.
He'll answer that. I just on this point of I think the Senate will process things pretty easily today. Legislature had its budget bills done before Easter. I believe now we've demonstrated as a group that we can finish these things. The objective now, I think, would be to finish them in a quicker fashion. And I just want to say I believe that more openness in the process in terms of public meetings would accomplish that, I believe.
Vetoes.
Well, look at the time. No, on the bills that we have detailed agreement on, we won't be line item vetoing them because we have detailed agreement. If somebody tries to sneak something into a bill that wasn't agreed to, that would cause a problem, but we have an understanding that won't happen. And it seems like we've worked through most of the bills, and it doesn't seem like we have a problem in that regard.
In great detail, we worked through most of these bills.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
To learn more about any of the subjects addressed in this podcast, please visit Governor Pawlenty's website at www.governor.state.mn.us. Also, be sure to regularly check the governor's website for more podcasts from Governor.